Chapter 8. I remember the exact day when England became me, when its contours cleaved to the curves of my own body, when its inclinations became my own. As a girl, on a bike ride through the Surrey lanes, pedalling in my cotton dress through the hot fields blushing with poppies, freewheeling down a sudden dip into a cool wooded sanctum where a stream ran beneath the flint and brick bridge. Coming to a stop, the brakes squealing from the work of plucking one still moment out of time. Throwing my bicycle down into a pungent cushion of cow parsley and wild mint and sliding down the plunging bank into the clear, cold water, my sandals kicking up a quick brown bloom of mud from the stream bed, the minnows darting away into the black pool of shade beneath the bridge. Pressing my face into the water, with time utterly suspended, drinking in the cool shock. And then looking up and seeing a fox. He was sunning himself on the far bank, watching me through a feathery screen of barley. I looked back at him and his amber eyes held mine. The moment, the country, I realized it was me. I found a soft patch of wild grass and cornflower by the side of the barley field, and I lay down with my face close to the damp earthen smell of the grass roots, listening to the buzzing of the summer flies. I cried, but I didn't know why. The morning after Lawrence stayed overnight, I dropped off Charlie at nursery, and I went home to see what I could do to help little Bee. I found her upstairs, watching television with the sound turned off. She looked so sad. "What's wrong?" I said. Little Bee shrugged. "Is everything okay with Lawrence?" She looked away. "What is it, then?" "Nothing." "Maybe you're homesick. I know I would be. Do you miss your country?" She turned to look at me, and her eyes were very solemn. "Sarah," she said, "I do not think I have left my country. I think it has travelled with me." She turned back to the television. "That's all right," I thought. "There'll be plenty of time to get through to her." I tidied the kitchen while Lawrence was showering. I made myself a coffee and realized for the first time since Andrew died that I had taken only one cup down from the cupboard instead of my instinctual two. I stirred in the milk. The spoon clinked against the china, and I realized I was losing the habit of being Andrew's wife. How strange, I thought. I smiled and realized I felt strong enough to put in an appearance at the magazine. At my usual time, the commuter train was crowded with pinstripes and laptop bags, but now it was 10:30 in the morning, and the train ran nearly empty. The boy opposite me stared at the carriage's ceiling.